I know I need to size up with you. And when I defang the Viper, trust me, ain't gonna come from nowhere. Jeff, I already put you out. I don't even know why you're out here right now. Keep on talking. Hey, do me a favor. Why don't you act like this is an AA meeting and you shut your mouth while I'm sharing with the crew? And Mustafa, you out here, a boy among men. And I'm gonna tell you what. You got lucky at the Rumble, so I know you're gonna come out here and run your mouth about how bad you are. But let me give you a little bit of a reality check. You see, Mustafa, you said that my eyes don't lie. Well, your eyes don't lie either, because last week, they were closed real tight when I put your simple ass to sleep. And AJ, hey man, be honest with me. How's our old girl Wendy doing?
Welcome back to the Carson Wrestling Podcast. It's me, Hafiz, and with me is always Devin, and we are about to talk some wrestling. I got a couple topics, hot topics from this week that we're going to bring up. News-related stuff, man. A couple things came up, and it's just, hey, let's talk about it. Let's chat about it. Let's start off with Mustafa. So Mustafa Ali requested his release from the WWE, put out a post, basically, you putting it out there. So we all know that he's wanting out from WWE. Apparently, there was a conversation between him and Vince McMahon, and they had a falling out in that conversation, an argument. There's, you know, some of this is rumor.
It's reported,
you know, but,
right.
But at the same time, I mean, him putting out his, you know, wants to be released kind of coincides with all of this. So just in general with this, I mean, he did put out a there was a package, like a character that he had that was basically talking about a new America.
New America.
And I watched it again recently and I'm like, man, that
was good.
It was like, you know, provocative, and I was really curious, like, how, first of all, props to Mustafa. Anything that he puts his passion behind, it gets you interested, you know. Yeah. Even, you know, with some of the stuff with Retribution, he would try.
As the leader.
On social media, you know, he would try to, you know, post some things that would gain some momentum for the group. But on television, they didn't do anything with it. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that was a common theme with him, where he would just continue. Like, his social media was awesome. And even before that, too, with some of his, like, grainy video that he would do.
205 Live promos he would do.
Yeah.
Like, he'd be in the streets of Chicago, like, in the alley. Love those, bro.
Right. Just super talented guy, you know, in terms of creative and in ring. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it's a shame that WWE could never really find something for him that would stick. So just in general, like I said, some of this is just like the behind the scenes stuff, still waiting for confirmation on a lot of it. But the confirmed thing is he is asking for his release. As of yet, he hasn't been granted his release. So, you know, we'll see what comes of this. But just hearing this news, man, what are your thoughts? Like, what comes to mind?
I can't say that I'm shocked, because he was barely being used pretty much after the Saudi trip. You didn't see him anymore. They just basically did that whole story with him and Mansoor, and, you know, for Saudi, and that was it. And then you really didn't see him. And I know there were stories out there that he asked for leave, you know, for the birth of his child. And I think they granted him, but they end up extending it. So, but I seen other promos. You see staying, you know, ring ready. You see him practicing, bouncing off the ropes and all that good stuff, doing hip tosses and whatnot. And it just sucks, because he is awesome, like, just not in the ring, but outside the ring.
Yeah.
You know, he, like you said, man, he pours in everything into a character. I was so intrigued by that New America promo.
Yeah.
You know, because, like you said, it was provocative. It was eye-opening. It caught your attention. And it hit all those factors. And maybe he could have got backlash for it, for the right or wrong reasons, but still, he would have caught your attention. I would just wanted to see where they was going with that. And it sucks, man, that, you know, WWE is gonna lose such a great talent right there, man. But, You know, I wish him on his future, you know, whatever he wants to do, anything outside the ring, or he wants to get back in the ring, man. I support him, man.
Yeah. And this comes on the heels of, like, Toni Storm requesting her release as well. So I guess my next thing, you know, my next topic for us is, what do you make of all the people requesting their release? Like, when you hear, you know, this person wants to be released, that person wants to be released. Like, I don't know, for me, I go to, like, damn, like, what is going on in WWE that just makes people say they don't want to be there? Like, from the outside looking in, I can understand it from, like, I'm not being used on television, so, like, let me go and do something else. Toni Storm was on television, and she just had a championship match, and she wanted out. So that's kind of a different situation, you know, to what I would say, like, okay, someone would normally want their release. I wonder, and even like you know, Johnny Gargano's just like they gave him
let his contract expire.
He let his contract expire. Kyle O'Reilly just, you know, went a separate way, a different way with his career too. And I don't know, man. It's a weird time right now, you know, with WWE and the talent they have. You know, Jeff Hardy kind of just. Whatever is going on with that. Now I'm totally confused on what that even was and what that situation is.
Yeah.
You know, it's just wild. So what I guess I still watch WWE because I'm a fan of wrestling, and you know, with WWE there's I don't know, it's just part of me, you know, to watch that show, but there are some times where I just kind of get a little bit disheartened with it, and it's like, damn, you know, like my, you know, the wrestlers that I enjoy watching, you know, they keep leaving. Yeah. Like, is there something going on in this company that, you know, deep down, like, they just, there's something not great about it. And, you know, it kind of challenges me in a certain way where, you know, I feel like I just wonder about the company in general, you know, and all the changes, and, you know, you got Nick Khan in there.
Like how the morale is.
Yeah, you know, like, I want to know that, like, the wrestlers are in a good situation and that they're happy and that they're feeling good, you know? Like, if it's not a good situation, then that sucks. And, you know, I wonder about all that, you know? So, overall,
I think it's like, different for every wrestler. You know, I know with Toni Storm, what she mentioned, she factored in basically – the travel schedule just got out of hand for her. She was saying she's missing birthdays and, you know, all these other celebrations that she wants to be there. And that's the reason why she requested her release. So sometimes it's just the schedule. You can't just can't hang with the WWE schedule. We heard the notorious stories of how brutal is it, even from that WWE wanted to use that. What's that boxer name, the heavyweight boxer?
Tyson Fury.
Even when he was doing that little story in WWE, he even mentioned, he was like, I don't see how you guys do it, man, because that schedule is rough. Yeah. So even he mentioned it, man. So it could be different variables of why you want to leave. Maybe I could agree that, hey, the morale here I'm not feeling, or the schedule, or I'm just not being utilized. And there's some people there that enjoys WWE because they're a little bit more proactive. I don't know, man, but they're the ones, it's some there too who enjoys being in WWE, but there's others, I see their point too, man, that, you know, it just ain't for me right now. I can't do it.
Yeah, and even, I mean, the flip side of that too is William Regal, someone who was released, and, you know, me personally, I wouldn't blame him, you know, if he felt a certain type of way, you know, about it, you know, like all the years he's put in and to be released, you know, kind of out of nowhere from the outside looking in. You know, just I wouldn't have shocked me, but he put out a tweet saying, you know, it don't tweet me or don't contact me expecting me to say a bad word. I don't have a bad word to say about the company. Ultimate professional. You know, that's William Regal. That's who he is. You know, he appreciated his time there and appreciated the opportunity there, and just much respect for William Regal around that. So you do have people who just like even Bryan Danielson didn't say one negative thing. You know, again, another professional. So I just feel like there's a mixed bag to it. You know, like you again, as a fan, like as a person, I'm the type of person that, like, I'm such a fan of these people, and I care about them. So when they get released, like, I take the, like, oh man, this sucks. You know, and I feel for them, and, you know, and I ride with them. You know, like, I feel loyal to them, and I feel shitty about them, like, getting released or not wanting to be there. You know, so that my gut reaction is always like, oh, fuck. But then, you know, you start to hear like certain people's, you know, perspective and like from their own words. Yep. And with some of them, sure, like they may feel a certain type of way, but some of them say, you know, positive things and, you know, they're grateful for their time. And so it's like you said, like for everyone, it's a little bit different. I mean, for Ali, who knows? We'll see what goes on with this situation. Yeah. But, you know, it's just, it is what it is. And we just got to, I guess, wait to hear from them specifically. But yeah, it's just kind of an odd time with all the releases and everything going on, you know, to look at all that in that perspective of it. But, you know, we'll see what goes on going forward. But yeah, definitely when I saw William Regal's post, I was like, all right, that was really cool to see, like someone who got released and, you know, said positive things like that about the company. Like he's that was pro, real cool. Pro. And again, true pro, definitely. Yeah. Other contract news, I don't know if I'm buying this, but Cody Rhodes,
oh, man.
Contract expired.
Seriously, gonna put this on the table right now, bro.
Yeah, I have to, man, because you know it's out there. You know, this is what people are talking about.
Oh
no,
bullshit.
Cody, he apparently has contract.
Make it about me. Put that story out. That hey, my contract expired with AEW.
The TNT champs. Contract is expired. He has no contract. You know, the EVP thing, apparently AEW, all they're saying to anybody is he does not have a contract. I call BS on this whole thing from the beginning. Right, exactly. That face right there, stone face, not buying it. It's just, I think, an eye-catching thing, you know, get people talking. Oh, is he going to go to WWE?
That's what it was.
Oh, the Forbidden Door. Maybe he's going to go and be in the Royal Rumble.
The Forbidden Door. It's a couple of podcasters who hate that word, by the way.
Right.
I'm just trolling.
But yeah, like, I think we're on the same page here, man. But just share your thoughts on this, man. Cody Rhodes. Expired contract. What you feeling?
Bullshit. That's what it is. That's what it is. That's what it's going to be. All right. That's all it is, man. It's just an attention grabber. And if it got you, it got you. It didn't with me. I'm like, man, whatever. I didn't even post it in our group because it was like, this is Cody being Cody. Make it about me. Put a story out there. Hit it all the news waves. Internet wrestling community is going to eat this shit up. And they did. They get spoonfuls just eating that shit up, man.
Yeah.
Because they think, hey, he might show up at the Royal Rumble. Hey. Like, no.
Come on, man.
Come on, right. Let's be real.
No way.
He is a cornerstone for AEW. He is not going anywhere.
He's got a reality show.
Yes, on TNT. Yes.
No way.
Come on.
He's way too invested in all that, man.
Come on.
And to give it up for what? To go over to work with Vince again and be Stardust? Like, what? What? No, nah, come on. Not happening.
I'm going to put you right back down to mid-car. You think you something over there, huh? You think you something? Shit, Vince is going to check your ass at the door. Nah, put on this fucking star costume. You know what it is. Right, you know why I signed you back.
getting squashed by Austin Theory on the regular. Selfie, yeah. That's future.
Hold on, man. I hate to digress, but speaking of Austin Theory, what was up with that motivational talk that
Man gave
to Austin Theory?
That shit right there, I don't know what Vince was thinking about. he just wanted to be is. See, it's so funny because Vince on one hand will be like, oh, what AEW is doing with like blood and guts type wrestling, blah, blah, blah. But then with Austin Theory, the words and the way that he's describing what he's going to do to Austin Theory.
You know what he's doing.
I'm going to bloody up. I'm going to break your bones. And then I'm going to, what? I'm going to have you dragged back here, beaten and bloody. And I'm going to beat you up some more.
I'm going to send a picture to your mom.
Send pictures to your mom. What? What the hell?
You're like, huh?
Vince, you're doing too much, man. Fuck? You're doing too much. Calm down.
If you don't
beat
him
up, that was.
I'm going to beat you up.
He was extra for no reason.
Right.
Come on, man. Calm down. So, yeah, man. It was weird. It was just weird, you know? I'm watching. I'm like, Vince, man, like.
Where's this dude going?
I don't know what. he's just he's having a good time. He's having fun. And he's just saying, oh, and it's his show, and he's rich and whatever. He don't care. He's just like, I'm just going to have fun and say whatever the fuck I want to say. Yeah. It's basically what it is.
Think Tony Khan could just tweet whatever you want to tweet. Watch this.
Yeah, I'm gonna exactly.
Put a statement out there. I don't like the A-Dub self-mutilation. But watch what I say with my words. Y'all fell for it.
Ooh, man. Seriously. What do you make of that too? So Vince again putting out that thing like saying, "Hey, AEW with self mutilation, you know, like they should tone it down." Like, I just feel like one, why even put like, okay, they're not. If you don't feel like they're competition,
yeah,
don't even bring them up. Like, why even say?
But I don't even know the whole context. Like, why even say their statement? Was that a question? And that was that their answer? Because all I saw.
Yeah.
All I saw, I was trying to find the complete entire context. I couldn't find it. So y'all listening to this, y'all watching this right now, send me the context. If you found it, send it to me because all I have is a statement of, hey, we're not into that. But what caused you to, I want to say why what say that.
Even come out of
exactly.
Right. I mean, there's all sorts of, and you know, rumors, it is what it is. But like, even when, back in the day, I guess they had sent a letter to WCW, you know, mentioning Ted Turner saying, you know, hey, this isn't good. Like, you know, this isn't good for kids to see, you know, your sponsors, blah, blah, blah. Like basically talking about, you know, bloody and like, it's not sanitary. And we saw Hulk Hogan drop buckets of blood and it's just not right. And now, you know, 2020, like, we're still doing this whole thing again. Like, I don't know, man. It's just, I feel like it's just a little off for me. Just you do your thing. But yeah, to your point, what's the context behind it? You know, like real curious to see what provoked that even, you know, communication being sent out like that. Yeah. But yeah.
Because if you're number one, you're not worried about number two. I'm just focused on staying number one. That's it. You know, AEW has a reason to come at number one because, you know, they number two and they know that and they got to try to outbeat their competition, which they won't, you know, it is what it is, but that's what they have to do. But that's like, I was just curious about that statement. I'm like, it's an odd statement to say, to talk about and to focus on the, what was the Rampage main event between the women.
Yep.
Had all the blood and all of that. It wasn't, I'll be honest. I didn't really care about the main event match. It is what it is, but I just didn't get why I say that statement, man. It ain't for everybody. You know, we clearly WWE has a different style compared to AEW, clearly. Right. You know what I'm saying? You stay in y'all lane, we'll stay in ours. You know, that's what it is. We'll stay parallel from each other. We'll never cross paths. Never.
It's interesting. More to come on that. You know, we'll see. Because, the context is important. But definitely just a little odd to see them, you know, just say anything about what AEW's got going on. Speaking of AEW, and doubling back in a little bit to something related to Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
So the interim TV TNT championship belt, whatever.
Yep.
I think it's an interesting concept. I think we brought it up on the show, but I wanted to dive into it a little bit more. Especially, you know, Sammy Guevara right now, you know, he retained in his last matchup, his last defense of that championship.
Yeah.
So, you know, Cody is, we both call bullshit on this whole thing with Cody. Yeah. We got Sammy back in the as a champion, so to speak, quote unquote. What do you think? Well, so where I'm going with this is, what do you think should happen with this whole situation with, you know, obviously Cody's still there.
Yeah.
And Sammy is champion too. Should we have, because I feel like it's just kind of a weird situation now.
It's weird.
Do we have Sammy lose it again? Or do we have Sammy now beat Cody and become champion? Like, what's the lesser of two evils here? Because I just feel like it's kind of a weird situation to be in.
I'm still trying to understand, how do we get here? Like, he wasn't even gone for a while. I could see, like, all right, Cody's going to be, like, he broke something, or he's going to be not there for the next 2 months.
Right.
Get it. Understand that. This dude is only out for a couple of weeks, and here we are. All right.
Two champions.
It doesn't make it make sense to me. That's what I'm trying to understand that part before you add these other equations.
Right.
Like, hold on, man. I'm still trying to figure out the formula.
Dude.
that's what I'm so baffled by. I'm like, he wasn't out that long, 2 weeks at the most, and you make Sammy the interim champion now. And then I know what's going to come down to. It's going to come down to Cody and Sammy.
Right.
And if I'm doing early prediction, I probably got Cody going over because it's Cody. He needs to hit that heel mark, bro.
I mean, when you look at it from Cody's perspective, yes.
Yeah.
You know, it makes a whole lot of sense that, you know, as a heel, that would help him get even more heat. You beat Sammy not once, but twice. Like, damn. Like, just what more do you need? You got all the spotlight. Like, what more do you need? For Sammy, I feel like it sucks because you lost twice. So you as a competitor, I feel like it's like definitive. He's better than you. He beat you twice for the championship.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of have to move on from that point. And it just feels a little bit shitty. Now, Sammy, you know, he's a talented wrestler. It's still going to be like, I'm not going to say, it's not going to make me still be a fan of Sammy. I'm going to still be a fan, you know, and want him to succeed and gain championships and all that. But I feel like his stock takes a hit a little bit by this whole situation if he loses to Cody again. So, yeah, I don't like it. And I don't know what the best situation is because Sammy winning, I guess I would say maybe that is the best situation, but I don't.
But I'm thinking about Cody. It's about me. It's about me.
We're flip-flopping the TNT championship now just to pad the stats. Like, is that what we're doing? It just feels cheap.
Let me fill a stat again, bro.
You know?
Participation trophy. Everybody gets one.
Right. Are you pulling the Charlotte and just having the championships just stack up? Oh, he's a four-time TNT champion. Oh, like, man. What are we doing? Like, he was just champion 2 weeks ago. It's so weird. So, yeah, it's just such a weird, weird situation. All right. So, moving on from that. Last week, we talked about long-term storytelling versus stories told too long. Mm-hmm. And I feel like what would be good, and I don't know, this might become a weekly thing for us to kind of, like, bring this up and just analyze some of the stories going on a little bit here. I've got a couple stories that I feel like they've been, you know, little by little, they've been telling a story to us, and it's been going on for a decent amount of time. So let's go through a couple of these here. So is this a good long-term story, or is the story too long is what we're going to do? Hikaru Shida versus Serena Deeb. Good long-term story or story too long?
Oh, good long-term story. Okay. Serena Deeb on some, hey, respect. Me.
Yeah.
I am the professor of wrestling. What she did to Shida, I was shocked. I was like, I didn't know this was in her. I didn't know she can get that vicious. Like, she eliminated her. She eliminated her problem. I'm like, I'm about to take care of you. You didn't hear me the first time, Shida. And, you know, in the story, you know, the back and forth, and now I feel like Shida is finally part of a story, because even when she was champion, she just had challenger after challenger. Not really a story, man. She was just basically defending her title. And I think what could have benefited for her title run, if she had an actual story, had some emotion. This is the story she's in right now with Serena Deeb, and it's been beautiful.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I think I'm enjoying it. So if I feel like if I'm enjoying it, whether it's a long story, you know, if it's been taking a long time, that part to me doesn't really matter as much. Like, I feel like it's finally, you know, we have a story going on in the women's division that we can sink our teeth into. And, you know, for Shida, you know, it's awesome to see. It would have been cool for us to see something to this level when she was champion, but yeah. I'm enjoying it. You know, given that we're getting it right now, I'm still cool with it. And Serena Deeb, like, I love the heel turn and just like the viciousness, like you said. You know, it feels like, you know, she's a threat. Like, she's a real threat. Like, this is you know, I just feel like this is where she always needed to be. And them getting to this point, you know, I'm just happy to see it. Like, on WWE, I feel like Shayna Baszler, you know, it would be cool for Shayna to take some of what Serena Deeb is doing and do that on WWE. But you know, it's kind of, I don't even know. Like, she hasn't been on television, I think.
Nah, now that I think about it, yeah.
Right, like a couple weeks now.
Yeah, she's part of SmackDown, right?
She's on SmackDown. Yeah, yeah. So, I know. Just, it's crazy. But, yeah, Serena Deeb, she's doing it right. Love the heel attitude. So, yeah. I feel like I agree with you. Good long-term story. All right. Yeah.
What you got? What you got next?
This is a big one. All right. Okay. MJF, CM Punk. Good long-term story or story too long?
Good long-term story because they have been telling a a story every week and has progressed every week. So, and they haven't fought each other yet. That's right. That's, you know, and they're right. Telling the story that they want to get you, that they want you guys invested so you want to see the fight. And that's, they have me at that point. I can't wait till these guys get in the ring because I want to see them fight. Yeah. And, you know, ever since it started with the promo and, you know, even their six-man tag, even when CM Punk was trying to get MJF and they ran around the whole fucking stadium, yeah. Like a half a mile, came back, MJF out of breath, trying to get his bearings, you know, shit like that. That's entertaining, man. And then, by the way, man, shout out to AEW because last Wednesday, it was a very promo-centric episode. Very sports and entertainment. You know.
Very sports. Oh, so there is a difference.
Ain't no difference. Ain't no difference, man. Oh, I kid. But sports entertainment, though. That's what they are. That's what they is. Pro wrestling, sports entertainment. All the same. No difference.
Nah, you slipped up a little bit there, but that's okay. That's okay. We'll let you have it. All right. So bringing this up. At first, I was like, you know, it's a good long-term story. But I got to be honest with you, man. I feel like I'm losing interest in the story.
Mm.
I feel like I'm losing interest in the MJF CM Punk story. And I'm actually more interested in the Wardlow MJF story. Ooh. Than the CM Punk story.
I feel you.
Yeah, man. I feel like, you know, with CM Punk, I think this story peaked a couple weeks ago, honestly. Like, when he was teamed up with Sting and Darby, yeah. Like, that to me was like, okay, it was cool. And I loved the fact that the respect that they were showing for each other. And that was awesome. But I think that at that point, I'm like, man, that's, I don't know. I just started to lose interest in the one-on-one matchup. And exactly. Their promos earlier on before then, like when they were, it felt like they were cutting deep, you know, into each other with some of the jabs, you know, Miz being compared to MJF, yeah. You know, and all the things MJF was saying back. It was like, okay, this is crazy. But now I feel like with everything that they're doing with Wardlow, it's more interesting, especially, okay, Wardlow having this matchup with CM Punk.
Yeah.
And I think they did a great job of making Wardlow look like a monster and like the next big superstar in wrestling, period. Like, I feel like this guy is on his way. And so now I'm getting invested in him. And so I kind of just want them to get this MJF CM Punk match over with so we can get to Wardlow versus MJF just imploding. Like, that's the story. I feel like all of this, even though it started out with CM Punk and MJF.
That detour got your attention, though.
That detour, man. Like, this guy and the way that they're telling the story and the little things that MJF is doing to piss him off. Mm-hmm. You know, you should go after the TNT championship, and when you win it, give it to me. Like, huh? What?
Contract.
Isn't the contract? Hell no. I'm upset. You know, I'm mad. Like, hell no, Wardlow.
Mark, get Mark in here.
Right. Exactly. I'm like, no, man. So, you know, I think that they're doing a great job with Wardlow, and that story being so interesting is pulling my attention away from, you know, even the MJF CM Punk storyline. So, yes, I still do want to see them fight. But I kind of want to see them fight just to get it over with that we get to Wardlow versus MJF. Because that, as far as long-term storytelling, that to me has been a great story told. Yeah. Okay? A great long-term story. Like,
you're not wrong. You're definitely not wrong. I just feel more strong on the CM Punk MJF because I want to see MJF give CM Punk his first loss. Like, I want to see. I'm still invested in that part of the story.
You think that's going to happen?
That's what MJF does, man. He gives people the L's that they deserve, that they have coming. And CM Punk, he deserved this L. He does. And it's coming.
He deserves it? What you mean? Why do you say that?
Because it's MJF, man. He's one of the four pillars. Like, they did that for, like for Chris Jericho. He's one of the first to pin him. He eliminated Cody Rhodes from ever challenging the AEW championship. You can't do that.
I mean, we'll see with this whole contract thing. Well, they could be using the contract to say, hey, you know, in my new contract, I need to go after that AEW championship. But, you know.
That money.
Right.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong at there. But, yeah, that's why I feel so strong about the CM Punk MJF story, bro. Yeah.
Okay.
But you make a fair point, though, about the Wardlow MJF. I am feeling that story, too.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not gonna lie. I'll be real. I'm feeling that chapter that they're telling us between Wardlow and MJF. When we know the history, we know MJF has Wardlow on contract. You know, this is how he feed his family. That's how he get basically force him to do something that he don't want to do. So, you know, I'm feeling it. I like it.
Yeah, man. I think you know, definitely. For me, you know, I share my opinion on it that it's not that I'm not looking forward to this matchup. It's just I feel like this Wardlow thing has kind of caught my attention to a point where let's just get to it. Let's get to it. Wardlow, yeah. I'm all in. War Dog. All right. On the WWE side. Okay. This one, I'm curious how you're going to look at this. All right.
Okay.
Let's go straight to the top.
Mm.
So over the way that they've brought in this Roman-Seth matchup, they basically have illuminated the fact that, you know, Seth has never lost to Roman Reigns. So overall, there's a long story then that we're going back to. I mean, this is going on years now then.
Yeah.
So in your estimation, because we're still looking for Roman to get his first win against Seth Rollins in a championship matchup. So do you feel like this one here is a good long-term story between those two? Or do you think it's taken too long for Roman to get that first dub against Seth Rollins?
Ooh, good goddamn question right there. You hit me. I'm like, oh, I felt that side. But, oh, shit. Put my hands up. Oh, man. That is a very good question. I'll say this. They're definitely feeding into the rich history that they have between the two.
Yeah.
But ever since the inception of Tribal Chief, it's Seth Rollins haven't been really part of that story, that part of that character build. You know, he came in between, he came in SummerSlam, took out the Monster, took out the Fiend, you know, it's just made his impression right there, took out Cesaro, took out Daniel Bryan, Edge, stacked them, did that, you know. And then it's been like, you know, promos of Seth, because he was part of SmackDown, you know, on his way, having little feuds with, like, Cesaro and saying, like, I'm next in line. You know, hey, I'm the next one to inherit the Universal Champion. But I don't think they really, you know, sensed his character up the head of the table that haven't really told a story between him and Seth until now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I would say it's not really a long-term story.
Mm.
They're just using the history to tell that story. If that makes sense.
Okay. I feel you on that.
Okay.
Yeah, because it definitely feels like they've hot-shotted this whole thing around, you know, Seth and Roman and, you know, the fact that he's never beaten him before. It hadn't been, like, highlighted, like, hey, he's never beaten him up until this point, you know. But when you look back at it, one thing that I do love about this is, like, the fact that they can go and say, hey, we're going to put these two guys up against each other, and then we're going to look at their history and then say, like, okay, what is unique about this matchup besides the fact that they're both in the Shield and they're brothers and all that? Well, hey, shit, he's never beaten Seth for the championship, like in a championship matchup. Mm-hmm. He's never beaten him. Okay. So to me, because I think it kind of challenges the idea of what makes a long-term, what makes a good long-term story. Mm-hmm. And I like what you said. I like the honesty in what you're saying about, you know, more of illuminating the history versus long-term story. And it makes me think about it too, because I think the way that we look at long-term, or the way I look at long-term storytelling, once Seth said that, he said, you know, the one thing that's assured, you know, is death, taxes, and, you know, Seth Rollins beating Roman Reigns.
Yes.
I was like, oh, shit. That's, I love that. I love that he's bringing that up. And immediately I thought, damn, I think that's good long-term storytelling, because you are not on purpose. You didn't make that. It's like Undertaker's undefeated streak at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. You didn't, at first, it was just kind of like, it just happened. But then you noticed it and you're like, you know what? Let's build off of this.
Yep.
So, and I feel like, yeah, that's great as far as long term, to the point where now it means something, and then Brock beats him, and, you know, mixed reaction there. But, you know, it's cool that those things are used and that history helps build an instant story, you know, mm-hmm. out of nowhere. So it's interesting. It's interesting to think about. I mean, anytime, I'm thinking about the MCU and Marvel, and like how, you know, we have 10 years leading into Endgame and Infinity War.
Yes.
There was 10 years of storytelling, right? And it's always cool when they pull out those Easter eggs from this movie or that movie. And it's like, oh, I love that callback, you know, and that those callbacks and those moments from their history that they will bring up. And, you know, it always, I feel like as a fan that I've been following their story, mm-hmm. I'm being rewarded for having followed all these years. And I'm like, man, it's like a different story for different people. Like, if you just jump in now, okay, cool. It's like, yeah, he said that. Yeah, me, whatever. But for us that have been watching wrestling forever, we witnessed it. We lived it, yes. You know? And then you go back and you're like, damn, that's right. He never beat him. And you just keep thinking about like the greatest heist of the century, you know, and all their matches, you know, over the years. It's like, shit, yeah, Seth has always had his number. Even with Brock, it's kind of a similar thing where, for whatever reason, you know, and Seth brought it up, I think when he made his heel turn initially, like, I beat Brock Lesnar twice for you, you know, for you people, you know, and when he said that too, I was like, damn, like, yeah, he's right. Yeah, and, you know, people are shitting on him. That's messed up. So, I think it's interesting to look at.
Yeah.
I will consider it great long-term storytelling because I feel rewarded as a fan.
Okay.
And I feel like I enjoy that when there's callbacks to things that have happened in their history. You know, like it feels instant on one mm-hmm. hand, but on another hand, it's like, well, but if you lived it and then you can go back and say, yeah, relive it in that brief moment, all their years of history and the fact that he's actually never beaten him. That's freaking cool. So yeah, man, it's, I don't have a perfect answer necessarily, but my instant reaction was that's great long-term storytelling for you to bring that up. The fact that that's never happened and that mattered, you know, like a lot of times stories just get dropped, right? Like they'll, you know, start something up and then eventually it's just dropped. And it's like, and it's like, it never happened. But it's always cool when, even after years and years and years, something, you know, things, you know, now here, 2022, you can say, hey, you know, we didn't forget the fact that Seth Rollins has never lost to Roman Reigns. Just like with Bobby and Brock, the fact that 20 years have gone by.
Yeah.
Bobby's wanted this match forever. They could have ignored it. They could have acted like that never happened, and this is the first time there.
No,
this has even been a thing, right? But the fact that Bobby's like, yeah, for 20 years you've been ducking me. It's like, ooh, I like that. And then you got the vignette that they showed, you know, showing their two careers on Raw.
It got me so pumped. I was like, oh my god, I want to see this fight right now. Telling the story, forging fire, like the way. You know, Brock was forging fire, telling his way, and then they telling Bobby, like, control, discipline. I'm like, oh, shit. Just give it to me right now. Give it to me. Yeah. Give me the fight. I want to see this.
Absolutely, you know? So, I mean, and okay, so with that said, like, do you still lean on it's storytelling like that is more of just more about the history being brought up in the moments, and it's not necessarily a long-term storytelling. Or do you kind of see it as, well, maybe it is long-term storytelling? Because I'll say again, I don't have it figured out, but yeah. My instant reaction was that's good long-term storytelling, because you are acknowledging their history,
yeah,
you know, and all the moments, and it's like it matters.
Because so, as I'm talking, I'm still breaking it down. I'm trying to still like find that answer. But maybe to your point, maybe there's like no definite answer. Maybe it's a little bit both. Because yeah. I think about the rivalry between Stone Cold and The Rock. And The Rock, they're telling that story that Stone Cold always had The Rock number for WrestleMania. He beat him two out of the three WrestleManias. And then when Hollywood Rock brought that up, he was like, you know what I never been able to do? Beat that bald-headed son of a bitch, Stone Cold. You called right. him out for WrestleMania, man. Right. I was like, ooh. And they're showing a promo for, you know, the previous WrestleManias that he got him. And it, and I love that match, because it took three rock bottoms to get Stone Cold out of there. Like, it would take him that much, man. You know, get him out. And it ended up being his retirement match. But when I think about that, I'm like, was that good long-term booking? Or were they just pulling from their storied past?
Yeah. Like, does it matter? Like, do we have to be able to give them credit for doing it on purpose? Yeah. You know, and like intending the story? Or is it enough to say, well, if you look at it on in the big picture, them bringing up their past and it, over the years, telling this narrative of like, yeah, with The Rock,
yeah,
he's never beaten him at WrestleMania, because now when you look at it, it's like, damn, yeah, that you can look at it as a long term story, you know, sitting now. But then, like when they first went against each other at WrestleMania, you're not thinking, oh, the story they're setting up is Rock is never gonna beat this guy at WrestleMania, you know, until you know the end of Stone Cold's career. But you look at it at the end, and it's like, damn. Yeah, him, that the fact that he time and time again at WrestleMania never could do this. And then at the end, the Stone Cold's last match is The Rock beating Stone Cold at Mania and then retiring him.
Yep.
Holy shit. Like, like that's amazing, you know? So yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. It's I will say, for me, I think that is, it's not on, I can't give them credit for doing it on purpose, for sure. But it is, I think it's great long-term storytelling overall, you know, yeah. And it's smart storytelling, you know, to include that in the narrative.
Yeah.
Once you realize, like, hey, holy shit, we've been booking Stone Cold to beat this man every time. Just let's bring that happened. Up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, yeah.
Maybe they just, you know, basically they just play with the hand they was dealt with, and that's how the cards felt.
Right,
you
know, right,
especially
right.
Especially, like you said, with the Tribal Chief, with the ones.
Yeah.
Seth freaking Rollins.
I think that's their version of that, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it goes at Royal Rumble, you know. But, yeah, man, I feel like it's cool. It's cool. I enjoy it, you know, and just my instant reaction was, man, that's great long-term storytelling. And then I was thinking about, like, our conversation from last week. I'm like, dang, is it, though? But now I'm still at that point where my reaction still to describe it would be that it is.
That was a good critical thinking question that you put out there, a topic. So, yeah. You know what? Shout out to the Bishop, Terror Wrestling Takes. You know what I'm saying? Basically, the catalyst of this got us thinking now. So, yeah, shout out to him.
Yeah, man. So then, now just going off of our conversation a little bit earlier with the group of podcasters that we were just with, we were talking about our greatest Rumble moments, you know, and I feel like it'd be cool to kind of bring some of that up here, because, you know, I think it's fun to look back on the road to Royal Rumble, which is also the road to WrestleMania. You know, when we've got our predictions coming up next week, we're going to hold off on that. Although we just kind of
they might get the sneak preview, the early version.
Preview coming, right, you know, right. Hint.
We might come out with a revised version.
Right.
as we get closer to the Rumble.
Oh, man. Shout out to Nick from the Universal Wrestling Podcast. Big shout out. Like, but yeah, just, you know, you brought up some, but why don't you just share again, like what you were saying there, man, just favorite Rumble moments.
Oh, like I said before, you know, when we was on the Universal Wrestling Podcast, like it's the moments. So 2017, number 30, just the wrestling community was just in uproar, just couldn't believe it. I was in tears. Not in sadness. Just in happiness, because I'm like, it would happen. Because you know I like to have fun with wrestling, so I completely laugh my ass off at that moment. Because I couldn't believe that they dared to do that. And they did. They did.
Yep.
Because Vince McMahon was like, I don't give no zero fucks. Put him out there. Put the big dog out there. Number 30.
Yep.
Suck it, everyone. Suck it.
Oh, man. Dude, man, it was hilarious, especially, you know, the you know, hearing the reaction of JR, you know, just being like, oh, civil bitch. Like, wait, what? Huh? JR, what?
Wasn't feeling it. No one was feeling it. And then seeing the video from all the you know, you see all the internet wrestling community taking videos of this, of themselves, and just in complete disappointment for number 30.
Yeah.
Damn it. Yes.
Just the trolling on social media and everything that happened. I love it.
I love that chaos. Dude. I was like, this is fun. This is a moment.
So that's a great moment. That's awesome. And for, you know, a multitude of reasons, that's a great moment. For me, you know, the debuts in some of them. I mean, we brought up Edge's debut, you know, at Royal Rumble. Big one for me was AJ Styles' debut at Royal Rumble.
2016.
I was shocked. There were rumors out there, both about Edge and AJ, but, you know, AJ for sure, I was in such doubt because, I mean, he was a guy from TNA, later Impact.
Yeah.
And New Japan. You know, New Japan. Yeah. And it's like, is this really going to happen? They're going to bring in AJ Styles?
Right. That's not sure the type enough. Of wrestler that you think Vince would like. You know, you like the big beefy guys, you know.
Right. A lot of beef. I mean, you know, you had, you know, Daniel Bryan, you know, that was, but even that was a fight. You know, that was the crowd making that happen. You know, so to bring in another guy of similar stature from the indie scene, it's like, is he going to let this happen? Like him? Really? But they did. And oh my God, just. Amazing moment.
You hear the music and you see the words, but then Goofy Michael Cole. Is it him? Could it be? It is! They don't want none. AJ! Top free agent. I'm like, whatever, but I'm just gonna enjoy this moment.
You're not gonna ruin this for me.
Right, not you, Michael Cole. Damn it, Michael Cole! Is it him? Man. Could it be?
So, yeah, so that's also, but like, I think maybe the biggest one for me, the biggest shock was John Cena. And I was looking it up. 2008 is when it happened. Yeah, just he was injured. Everyone is not even thinking about John Cena.
He was supposed to be out 11 months.
There you go. And I remember, I think at that time I was thinking, okay, Triple H is going to win the Rumble. It was towards the end of it. Triple H is in the ring. And John Cena's music hits. Crowd goes nuts. Triple H's face just sold me. It was pure shock. Like, if you'd have told me that they didn't tell Triple H, that they didn't tell commentary that John Cena was going to be there, I would have believed you because the reaction felt so pure. Everybody was just like, wait, what? John Cena? Yeah. And me just watching, I'm just like, how? Like, he was injured. He was done. Like, so kudos to them keeping that secret, keeping it all under wraps. Yeah, kudos to John for busting his ass to get back because superhuman legit injury, right?
Healing ability.
Oh my God, this man just he refused to stay injured. Man, he's like, nah, John Cena, damn it, I'm gonna be there at Royal Rumble.
I miss out on this bread.
Exactly. So yeah, man, that was a great moment, and yeah, just The first Rumble that I saw, like, the whole thing, you know, from beginning to end, because I've seen some, like, you know, like I had bought or, you know, gotten tapes of old Rumbles, you know, back in the day, you know, and I'd seen them, like, way after the fact.
Yeah.
But, like, one that I'd seen, like, when it was happening, like, or at least close to around when it was happening, was the Rumble where The Rock and Big Show, both their feet touched at the same time, where The Rock actually won it, but then after the fact they said, well, actually, Rock, you know, like, you and Big Show, you know, both hit because they showed his feet. But it was just such a cool thing to, you know, see the Rumble at that time. And I just have fond memories of that one in particular, because that was one of my first ones that, you know, I really started getting into wrestling and watching wrestling. Yeah. You know, so that was huge for me. So that was like a special one.
I'll say for me, the 98 Roma with Stone Cold, he won.
Mm.
And, you know, they just kick notch on him another level. And they had that awesome match, you know, WrestleMania against Shawn Michaels. And
he
became face of the company, you know. And then, you know, everybody know what happened next after that, man. He just took it and ran
that
with
was
it,
bro. That was it.
I got the keys to the car. It's over now.
Yeah, the Rumble's fun, man. It's a fun pay-per-view, you know. It's one of those where,
it's unpredictable.
You know, it's so unpredictable. You just, you know, who's going to show up? And, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this one. We've talked about, like, some of our, you know, like, potential surprises and things like that. So I am excited for it. You know, last week I was like, man, not sure how I'm feeling about this, because it feels kind of, you know, predictable a little bit. But, you know, more and more I think about it, I'm getting juiced up. The closer we get, the more excited I'm getting for this. So really, really, really looking forward to seeing this. I don't think so. You know, I don't think we do, but
got to get that in.
Hey, man, you rolling. I don't know, man. I don't think we do, but we definitely will get some kind of surprise. You know, I feel like somebody will show up. I'm not going so far as to say, like, you know, a Forbidden Door thing or whatever.
Moose.
You know,
Moose.
Yeah, dude.
Moose.
Please let Moose show up. Let's just do this. Let's do this and let's get it over
with. Get out the way.
Right. And just him and Roman somehow, some way have this face off. Let it happen, please.
Yeah, this is good. The fans want it. I don't. Like, hey, this is one of the fantasy booking matches, like, I don't want to see. I don't care. You know? No disrespect to Moose. I respect his wrestling ability. It's just he's not all the way there promo-wise with me. You know?
Yeah.
The believability.
Yep.
I'm not there with it. And then you want to say, oh, man, fantasy book, let's go against Tribal Chief. Really?
I feel like, you know, Moose is doing what he has to do, you know, and I appreciate it. And he's, you know, you got to get him on the mic more and more to get him to improve and get better. So, you know, definitely keep doing it, keep going for it, you know, and it's not there yet. You know, we acknowledge that. It's funny even hearing him bring up guys on that level, because it's like, look, Roman, that's this dude is in God mode now, son. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's levels.
What he said that I'm like, see, God, you ain't ready for that, man. Like, bro, you sure you want some? I'm on God mode right now,
dude. Like, that's a whole nother level. So, yeah, man, I just feel like, hey, get it over with. Go ahead, let Moose have his moment. It'd be great for Impact if they can do that. But, you know, I don't know. I'm not gonna hold my breath for that. But yeah, speaking of that, just real quick with that promo, the face to face, you know, Seth Rollins, Roman, oh my God, like, such a great moment. Yeah. And they built it up to, like, you saw you know, little by little throughout SmackDown, they kind of went through
the history of the Shield,
kind of omitting Dean. You know, as much as they could.
I'm like, hey, there
he was in the shots, right? But then, you know, you get to the end, and, you know, Seth, he was great. You know, cackling, saying, you know, I created you, and I can destroy you, right? Just
that dude
on point, great job. But Roman, man, just Oh my God. When Seth put out the fist, he's like, I know you want to do it. Come on, come on, do the Shield thing. And Roman said, that is beneath me now, dude. Like, come on,
get that off my face, man. Fuck out my face with that.
Right. Mm-mm. Right.
I don't do that.
Yeah. I don't do that. Like, come on, man. And then just I think outside of the God mode line, oh my God. When he brought up, okay, he's telling, like, Seth is talking his shit. You know, it's like, cool. And then Roman's like, this dude's a clown. Like, honestly, if I had my way, you're not the one I would have picked from Raw. Matter of fact, you're not the one I would have picked from your own household. If I wanted a main event Royal Rumble with a megastar, I'd have picked your wife. I said, What?
Oh, he got you there, Seth. And I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming when he said I wouldn't have picked you. I'm like, he's about to hit him with the wife shot.
Right.
When he said household, I'm like, yep, here comes the wife shot.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, man. Dude, that right there, you could have just went mic drop. Let's go off the air. Done. I'd have been good. But you know, they had a great segment, great show. Obviously, the Usos did their thing. But overall, man, I'm hyped up for that matchup. Like, I feel like it's gonna be fun one way or another, man. They're doing their job. They got me.
Yeah, same here, man. My concern level is heightened. Like I said before, you know, I'm not all the way confident if the Tribal Chief can pull this off, but I still will go with the Tribal Chief at the tables. We are the ones against Seth freaking Rollins.
Yeah, man. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I can't wait. Royal Rumble season is here. Yes. We're on the road to Royal Rumble and the road to WrestleMania. Can't wait for it. This is going to be a lot of fun. That's all I got, man. That's as far as topics for this week. Do you have any final things, topics or anything you want to talk about before we call it a show?
Nah, man. I think you hit it on all points, man. You know, you drove this car well, so I'm with it. I'm satisfied with the mission, sir.
Awesome. So more to come. Hey, we'll do our predictions the next time you hear us. So that's gonna be fun. It's gonna be interesting because, like I said, we did. You know, there you may catch a little teaser of some picks that we made earlier on, but we'll do our Clark Street Wrestling Podcast picks for you. You'll get our picks and see, you know, I guess, Devin, you'll see if I change my mind on anything.
You know? You never know with me too, man.
Right, right.
You know what?
Dude, we still got another week of shows to see, so we'll see where we go from there. But that is going to do it for this episode. But before we go, as always, Devin, tell the people.
Yes.
Where they can catch us.
Yes, all the time. And before I let the people know where they can find our lovely podcast and all of our social medias, plus our merch, I got a shout out to the viewers. I got a shout out to the listeners. I'm going to give some international love to all the people that listen all over the country for the Clark Street Wrestling Podcast. All right. So I'm going to go down the list because there is a list. All right. We got Ireland, United Kingdom, Germany, Australia, Saudi. See, we told you. Listen out there, right, Saudi. All right. Canada, South Africa, Niger. Yes. Russia, India, France, Barbados, Italy, Singapore, Puerto Rico, Philippines, New Zealand, Finland, Greece, Portugal, Belgium, Morocco out there, Costa Rica, Pakistan,
yes, wow.
Vietnam, Austria, Sweden, Japan, wow. All the way out there in Japan, they got us, man. Uruguay, Brazil, Hong Kong, Guatemala, and Egypt, wow. Out there, King Tut and them. Hey, listen to us. So big shout out to y'all. Man. We appreciate the support. Thank you. We appreciate the love. Humbled. Yes. And if you ever want to reach out to us, ClarkStreetWrestling.com, ST for the abbreviation.
Any questions?
Yes. You know what? Maybe we should do that for our 3-year anniversary. Just to do a Streets is Talking
Yeah.
special. Yeah. All of this, we just go over the Q&A you know, that'd be awesome. Live Hell stream yeah. as well. Yeah. You know, hit us up in the engagement because we're going to do this. We're going to do this right.
Hell yeah. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Yes, yes. So always, if you want to follow the podcast, like I said before, ClarkStreetWrestling.com, ST for the abbreviation for your audio needs and video platform as well. And like I said, our merch.
Get your merch.
Get some cool merch, like some right here, like this shirt right here. Or, you know, out there in Guatemala, New Zealand, Australia, out there in the Southern Hemisphere, Brazil, if you're down there, get your beach towels, all right? We got y'all. Get the beach towels. Even beach the Saudi. Towels. Saudi. Yeah. You got to get another pay-per-view out there. You want to get ready? God. Represent. Let me see you represent. Let me see a beach towel in the crowd. Like, look at that.
Oh, man. Beach towel in the Saudi crowd. I see a beach towel at a show on TV, I'm going to lose my mind, man. That would be amazing.
we got international shipping. Whatever you at, we're going to ship it to you, okay? ClarkStreetWrestling.com/store. Bo, yo, pleasure. It is decided.
Woo! That's it. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Thank you all for listening. For Devin, I'm Hafiz. Catch you guys next time. Peace.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to the Clark Street Wrestling Podcast. We see you, Saudi. Get them beach towels. Yeah.